Game On.
Game On.
2FM.
You're listening to the Game On podcast. You can join us nightly on 2FM, Monday to Friday from 7.
Game On. Rugby.
So this is a story that caught our eyes. This has been doing the rounds over the last couple of days. It has been the thing of rumour, and today it appeared to become a thing of fact. The Australian Rugby Union are to put ideas for experimental laws for their new National Rugby Championship to a public vote and a public consultation. It all stems from concern that exists within the country, which sees potentially rugby union losing out in popularity to rugby league, which a lot of people would consider to be a faster, more fluid game. So basically, the ARU has put together a panel of experts, including the current Wallabies coach Ewan McKenzie. They will go through suggestions made by the public with a view to picking the best and the most realistic, and they're going to put them to the IRB. We want to hear your views. What would you change about the game of rugby to make it a better spectacle, to make it more enjoyable, to make it a better sport? 51552 from Northern Ireland, 80889, or you can tweet at GameOn2FM. To give you a helping hand, let's hear some of what figures within the Irish game and Irish broadcasting are thinking.
Bernard Jackman, head coach of Chernobyl next season. I would change the concussion bin. I think Florian Fitz's incident last week against Toulouse showed that it's a flawed system, and hopefully the IRB will act and make sure we put player welfare at the top of the agenda. I see no changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask
myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? When you take into account these superb athletes we have playing the day today, how big they are, how strong they are, how quick they are, how fit they are, there's no space on a rugby union field anymore for 15 aside, bearing in mind that it was invented with the same dimensions all those years ago. And that's the biggest problem I have, is just trying to find space on a rugby union pitch anymore. And it is a huge issue going forward, because the reality is these guys are going to get bigger and stronger and faster, but the pitches ain't going to get any bigger.
Hi, it's Michael Corcoran, rugby commentator for RTE Radio here. If given a chance, I would change the laws surrounding scrums. They take up far too much time in every game. They're not policed properly by referees. Very often the feed into the scrum is crooked and not penalised. Referees should be assisted by their touch judge or assistant referee, who can keep an eye on the opposite sides where the referee is actually standing. Scrums and resets take up way too much time during the course of games. They don't help the flow of the game for players or spectators alike.
Hi, Alan Quinlan here, former Munster and Irish rugby player. The one change that I would probably make in the current game, certainly at the top level, is maybe bring the hindmost foot, the offside line at the base of rucks, bring it back 2 metres, maybe at ruck time. I would look to bring the defensive line maybe back 2 metres behind the ruck, try and give some more space to the attacking team. Modern day rugby is dominated by defences now, and there seems to be so many players on the field making tackles, getting back up. I'd probably like to see the defensive line and move back a couple of metres to create some more space and some attacking flair.
My name is Maurice Field, former Ulster and Ireland centre, now pundit for RT and BBC Radio. First of all, the only change I think we need to make is to stop making more like a collision sport like rugby league, is I would allow the offside line to be the ball, rather than having boys back 5 metres from scrum or 20 metres apart then from line. I think that's going to create a more creative individual, and it's going to ask more questions about defences and, again, probably make it more enjoyable.
Shane Byrne, former Leinster and Ireland player. Well, I have to say, the game isn't too far off where I'd like it as it is. There's obviously the things that irk me the way it is. In recent times, you see the red card. It's been flashed quite easily. I think they should consult, make sure that the decision is correct for something as severe as that. The scrums, obviously playing the position I did, irk me still. Refs still don't know what the intentions are in scrums. A scrum, certainly 5 yards from a line, the intention of a prop is far different to a scrum 50 yards out, and they should be looking for different things. But to me, one of the things I would change would be the points awarded for a penalty kick. I think put it down to 2, make it less of a point in the game to get the game flowing. Drop kick stays 3. The problem is, obviously, with that is that people will give away more penalties, which will make more yellow cards, but then again, the game would flow certainly a lot more. I do think the game is a lot better than where we were. It is flowing a lot more. But certainly dealing with those issues would be a start.
one change I would like to see take place. When you take a line out in the corners, it's taken by whoever, and suddenly you have seven forwards gathered into them all, and they're beginning to rumble forward, and then eventually you get your try. And then we come to the middle of the field, and we have a crossover where there's no contact whatsoever, and immediately it's blown up by the referee, and he gives this X crossing in midfield. What I'd like to see is a little more sensitivity from referees, but please, let's have a little more leeway and practicality.
Great pleasure to say Nigel Owens joins us. Nigel, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad. Thank you for joining us. Can I get your opinion? Which has emerged from Australia, where the ARU are to get the opinions of their fans with the potential of looking to implement law changes for their national championship. Is it needed?
I don't think it is. When you look at the... take, for example, the South Africa-New Zealand game this year in Ellis Park, and then you had the Ireland-New Zealand game in October in the Autumn Internationals, and some of the other games during the Six Nations, and some of the other games, the Heineken and the Rabo as well this year. You've had some great games of rugby. So that will tell you, well, hang on, you know, if we can have great games of rugby when teams go out there to be positive, coach positively, then that'll tell you there's not much wrong with the laws. I think then you've got to look at it a bit deeper then and ask yourselves, well, why are these games with certain sides maybe not as flowing as it is with some other sides? And I think your answer is in that, because once you go tinkering with the law, rugby has gone through a lot of changes in the last decade, and I don't think you can tinker anymore with the laws. And what people don't realise, when you do change one law in rugby because you think it's going to benefit the game, it has an add-on effect in other phases and stuff as well.
Well, then, if that's to be the case, is there a challenge facing rugby, particularly maybe Northern Hemisphere rugby, or rugby, you know, within the Pro 12 Heineken Cup system? Is there anything that can be done to improve the game, or are there challenges facing the game in your mind?
I think there's certainly that there are always going to be challenges. There's always to try and improve the game and make it more sort of non-rugby spectator, traditional friendly in a way. Because, you know, if you're a true rugby supporter, you can go watch a game of rugby. The score may be 10 points to 9, and it was a damn good, hard, good game of rugby. But then if you're not a true rugby supporter, you may look at that and think, well, I didn't see anything exciting about that game. So rugby can improve, certainly, but I think it's down to a lot to do with the attitude of players and teams as well. And you bring in different playing conditions, weather conditions and everything as well. Because what I think you see people must remember is this, and this is the most important part, which underlines all the true values of rugby, that rugby union is a sport for all shapes, all sizes, whether you're fast, slow, there's a place for you in rugby union. And if you go tinkering with rugby union to try and make it a certain type of sport, then you're going to go down the rugby league sort of route, and it's going to be for specific players, and rugby union is going to lose its true identity of being a sport for all.
Okay. I know from Twitter, at Nigel Ref Owens is where you are at, and 88,000 followers, and you interact with them quite a lot with regard to incidents and laws and everything else. We've had quite a lot of people tweeting us to at Game On 2FM with questions or issues of concern that they have. If you'd no objection, I'll put a couple of them to you just to get your opinion. One that has come in, one thing to change potentially is the use of the TMO between some referees, overuse, and players asking referees to go upstairs every time the play stop.
Yeah, I agree with him totally. I think technology has its place in rugby. I think it's important that technology is there, because what we all want is that we get the big calls, the big decisions that matter, that we get as many of them correct as we can. And there is a place in rugby for technology, but there's not a place in rugby for technology to be overused as it is being overused at the moment. And when you have the game being disrupted like that, and when you're going to go down the route of players starting to chase the referee, asking to check this and check that, then we are going to land up in soccer land. And I don't think anybody wants that to happen. So it has its place, but at the moment I do agree that it is being overused, and the protocol needs to be looked at to have it a part in rugby, but not to be overused.
Another tweet, that last tweet incidentally was from the Munster Rugby Supporters Club. So we've another one in from @Neil_Tracy asking, should scrum infringements be considered a dangerous play offence? A collapsed scrum can do a lot more damage than a spear tackle.
That's a fair point. I guess when the scrum goes down, yes, it is dangerous. And I think if a referee can identify that an individual is being dangerous in that play and deliberately collapsing that scrum, then he can deal with it as dangerous play. Of course he can. But also you've got to remember as well that, you know, when you've got 16 players coming together like that with that force, sometimes scrums do go down when it's nobody's fault. And then I go back again to the point that I said earlier. I refereed Ireland, Italy this year in the Six Nations. And I think of all the scrums in that game, I think only one was penalised and one collapsed. So when you have two teams who want to go out and be positive in the scrum is not an issue in the game. So I think we have to look at the individuals and the teams involved in identifying what the issues are and dealing with them.
Would that be the area of the game that you get the most correspondence or discussion about, the scrum?
It certainly is that and the contact area. And I think it's difficult sometimes. When I review my games as part of my job as a referee, I go home and I look at a scrum collapse and I think to myself, well, I've looked at this four or five times now and I honestly don't know who's taken it down. And sometimes nobody is at fault. It just happens that the mechanics of it, with six players going in together like that, a bit of mistiming, and all of a sudden it's nobody's fault, it goes down. And then you have to reset. But then certainly, yes, scrums do become an issue in some games. And I think at the end of the day, the players have to be held accountable for it, but also we as referees need to be better at refereeing the scrum as well.
Just on that, as a referee, does it frustrate you, and I know it frustrates coaches and players as well, that for a large part, people, whether it be in the media, whether it be fans, whether it be in some cases former players, are commenting about the laws of the game as fact, when in reality they're a million miles off what the reality of the laws of the game are?
It does annoy me sometimes when you go home and you look at the game again and you watch a game at home and you see commentators or pundits saying, well, the referee was wrong here or the referee shouldn't have given that, and I'm thinking to myself, well, hang on now, the referee is 100% correct in what he does or what he's done, and also, well, hang on now, that's not the reason why that penalty was given. So it does annoy me sometimes. I wish sometimes that a referee could be sitting there in the studio and telling them, oh, hang on, you know, the referee's got this right. But also as well, sometimes we as referees, we have to be accountable and hold our hand up and say, yeah, I got that wrong, or yes, the referee has got that wrong, because we do get things wrong sometimes, but a lot of the times the referee does get it right, but his interpretation of it is right, and sometimes the pundits are quite way off the mark.
Is there an incident that you reflect upon more than any other that you could do it all over again if you could?
I don't think there's one more than another, but yeah, certainly I look back at games and I think, well, yeah, I did get that wrong. But the important thing is that, you know, we all make mistakes in life, whether it is off the field or on it, and the most important thing is you learn from it and you don't do the mistake again. And if the mistake is done, it's done with all sincerity and honesty in one way, because you called it as you saw it at the time. And as long as you're honest in making those calls, whether they're right or wrong, then you hold your hand up afterwards and be accountable for it. And the only game that I regret that I'd like to do again was, I did a quarter final of the Heineken Cup about 6-7 years ago, and I went to referee an under-19 school game 3 days later, and I thought I was too good for that game, and I didn't referee it well. I let the players down on the field, and I ended up sending a player off who quite rightly told me that I wasn't refereeing that game well. And if I had one game I could do again, would to be that under-19s game where I sent a player off because I didn't referee it well.
One more tweet we've got in from the @16thman. The advantage rule, should there be a set number of phases and then it's advantage over, because at the moment there seems to be a lack of consistency?
If you could do that, it would be great, but it's virtually impossible to do that with advantage, because there's so many things that play a part in it. And I think the most important thing is here that the fact that I play advantage 1 week to a phase more or 3 seconds more than a referee you've had the week before is, I think, should be irrelevant. The most important thing is that you as a referee yourself are consistent for the 80 minutes in that game. As long as you're consistent to the both teams in your application of the advantage, then there shouldn't be much issues with it. It's when you are inconsistent yourself in that game is when we have to be held accountable, and quite rightly so.
Just to finish, the biggest issue people have corresponded with us about, and I think maybe the Florian Fritz incident at the weekend is at the forefront of people's minds, but when we are talking about changes tonight, concussion and the concussion bin yet again is at the forefront of people's thoughts. Are you in a position to be able to comment on what happened with Fritz at the weekend?
I've heard about the incident, obviously, because it's been all over Twitter and all over the press and everything, but I haven't seen the incident, so I couldn't really comment on it, to be honest, because I haven't seen it. But the only thing I will say is that if I was refereeing the game and I felt a player was on the field, and I'm not talking about the Fitz incident here now, if I felt a player was on the field, for whatever reason, I didn't think it was safe for him to continue, whatever the medical staff or the coaching or the player would say, I would have the authority and I would use that authority for the player's safety and make sure that he left the field of play. And the referee has the power to overrule everybody in that instance. And I'm not talking about the Fitz incidents, I'm talking about any incident of player safety in the game.
Nigel, I know you're on your way to a function, so I greatly appreciate you pulling the car over to take the call. Thanks for your time on the programme.
Hey, my pleasure. Game over.